those in authority, when we are not, you know, happy with them, we should ask thunder and fire and brimstone to consume them, consume their families and their generations. I have never, ever seen that in the Bible. If there's anything Jesus actually lived and commanded and demonstrated, was Jesus never at any point in time disobeyed the law. He never disobeyed the law. He paid his council tax. He didn't try to circumvent it. When he was challenged, that was when that miracle of the coin and the fish in the fish's mouth came, because he wanted to make sure that they paid that tax as instructed by the law, so that there will not be any offense. Nothing will be held against him. So as Christians, we are the ones who should actually be enforcing the law but not breaking the law. Somebody asked, or may ask, what if it's an unjust law, an unrighteous law? That is why we should pray. We are instructed to pray for those in authority. Anything that you feel is not right, don't curse the people in authority. Pray for them. The Bible says the heart of kings is in the hands of God. And like the rivers of water, God turns the heart of kings. It's because we don't exercise that authority and power of prayer to pray the mind and the will of God at times that we experience all this untold hardship. We saw how Paul knew the law, quoted the law, and the law protected him. They couldn't beat him because he simply quoted the law. He didn't quote the Bible, he quoted the law. Do you know the law? We ask ourselves, please make sure you are acquainted with the laws of the land. The laws are meant to work for us, protect us, not against us. And we should be the ones enforcing it, not breaking it. So, now these people that Paul was brought before were made up of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. So, get the picture. Paul, at this stage now, perceived that one part were Sadducees and the others were Pharisees. And then he cried out in the council, men and brethren, please note what Paul is saying. I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged. Wow. And when he said this, a dissension arose between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection and no angel or spirit. But the Pharisees confess both. Then there arose a loud outcry, and the scribes of the Pharisees' party arose and protested, saying, we find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. These are the people who are going to kill him, seal his faith. Now, verse 10, when there arose a great dissension, the commander, fearing lest Paul might be pulled to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the barracks. But the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. Amen. Tonight, we are looking at what we will just title Sadducees or Pharisees, which side are you? Now, let's look at what Paul did here. What did Paul do? Please, let's look at the scripture, and you can shout it out loud. Paul was before the council, and the council was made up of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And Paul perceived, he knew that, and he took that and used that to his advantage. So who did Paul side with? Please look at the scripture and shout it out. The Pharisees. Why didn't he side with the Sadducees? Or why did he all of a sudden decide to remember he was a Pharisee? because of what he believed. What he believed tallied with one party. Mind you, these were the people who were meant to judge him. The Pharisees and the Sadducees made up the council who were meant to deal with him. It's like you've been brought before a panel of judges, and then you got there and found out that half of the judges were from your hometown. And according to your hometown rule, you don't throw somebody from your hometown under the bus. You must protect your own. You know, that's one of the statements you hear from gang lords and gangs. You know, they say you must always protect your own, no matter what. So you perceive that half of the judges are from your hometown, and it's a rule that you must protect your own. And you can see that they are actually united to finish you. They were just, it's just for them to pass the judgment. And at that point in time, you now say, I'm from Liverpool, I'm a Scouser. And all the Scouser judges, they said, no, he's not guilty. He's not guilty. You know, that's the kind of picture. Yes, sir, you want to say something? Go on. Please, let's have contributions. Yeah? You're on.
I think the first thing that comes to mind is, apart from knowing the truth, he understood the culture of the two, the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Right.
Because sometimes we only just know the truth, but we don't really know, we don't understand what, in the community where we stand, where we are based, we don't understand what the people really stand for.
Okay.
So we don't have like an advantage in case we get into trouble. So for him, he knew who the Sadducees were, what they believed in. He knew what the Pharisees were and what they believed in. And when he saw an advantage there to have a leeway for himself, he aligned himself as a Pharisee.
So one thing it seems like you are highlighting there is that to know.
So number one,
Know
the truth.
When you say know the truth, what do you mean by the truth?
The truth is know God. Understand who you are in Christ.
Okay.
So that was the first thing that Paul knew. But number two, also understand what your opposition believe in.
Know your enemy, basically.
Yeah.
Do we know our enemy or enemies? Knowledge. You know, from what you're saying, Jesus said, if you continue my word, then you shall be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's not truth. Please understand this. It took me some time and to comprehend when somebody first said this. It's not truth that sets you free. It's the knowledge of the truth. It's the truth you know and the truth you apply, the truth you take advantage, the truth you use that sets you free. And when we look at the pattern with Paul, that has kind of been. Number one, he knew the law when they wanted to flog him. What did he say? I'm a Roman. Is it right? Look at Paul's progression in chapter 22, he remembered he was a Roman. When they wanted to flog him. I'm a Roman. Does the law permit you to flog a man who has not been judged guilty? So you can't just do a mob action here and beat me. So they realize, what? You're a Roman? Okay, let's take him to the council. He got to the council, and then the Bible says, look at the word there, because that word there, perceive, is no. The Bible says, but when Paul perceived, he knew that one part was Sadducees, and the other were Pharisees. What was the first thing he cried out here? I'm a Pharisee! Talk about God sending confusion into the camp of the enemy. Yes, can we have a microphone for our brother here? We want to say something. They're going to kill you. Yeah.
What I noticed was that Paul was applying a scripture that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10.
Which scripture is that? I'm curious.
Verse 16.
Matthew 10, verse 16. Yeah. What is Matthew 10, verse 16?
He said, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves.
Yeah.
Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves."
Okay.
So what Paul was just applying wisdom there. He was being wise as a serpent because said it when he perceived that there were two parties there, what he did was he just said something that actually brought out those two parties, that created the separation between those two parties. And what now happened was they started arguing with each other because he had now taken one of the party sides. So he just applied that wisdom there. So that's what I noticed.
Can we call this what some people use it in a negative way, what is known as divide and rule? Divide and rule. You just kind of get into there. But you see, all these things comes back to what we know. Let's say Paul didn't know there that there were partly Sadducees and Pharisees. He probably would have been dealt with here mercilessly. They would probably have killed him, and then they would, when they probably are writing his obituary, they would not say he was a Pharisee. And then the judges who participated, so it was one of us, but it was already gone. So what do you know? Yes, sir. What do you know? And, go on.
The thing also, it's us being careful, because sometimes people might then think, oh, let me just take a side because I want to get out of trouble.
Yeah.
But in actuality, Paul said, I am here because I believe that people will rise from the dead, which is knowing how to apply scriptures, because he was there because of Jesus who rose from the dead. So he wasn't just plucking out the truth from thin air. He was saying actually the truth of what Jesus is. Jesus rose from the dead, which is what he was preaching.
Right.
And he just knew how to apply the word, the scripture, in his situation. He wasn't just quoting. He didn't just say, probably if it's me, I'll say, Jesus rose from the dead. And people would because they hate Jesus.
That's right.
They would only hear Jesus and attack me. But he said, without mentioning Jesus, said, I am here because I believe that people will rise from the dead. And he just left it at that. And which is not really going into preaching to them. He was making a statement of his belief. And
right.
Just knowing how to apply scripture in every situation.
In a practical way.
Practical way, yes.
In a very, very practical way.
And simple as well.
Yeah. I had a story. I don't know. I may not say it accurately, but this was the gist behind it. I think it's in those days when it was a serious, if they catch you with a Bible in Russia, you are dead. Or if they find out you are a Christian, you are dead. They will literally kill you. So in those days, they used to have underground cell, churches and gatherings. So these people were going, I think maybe they left a fellowship or they were going to a fellowship, and they caught them on the main road. And they are Christians. And they asked them, where are they going? They were going for fellowship. So what will you say in that kind of situation? I'm going for a meeting. What kind of meeting? Who are the people in that meeting? You say spiritual meeting. You are a goner, brother. You're going to see your brothers and sisters. Okay, what kind of brothers and sisters are you going to see? They keep questioning you. People of the same blood. Okay, this is what they said. Hear what hear what they said. They said that they are actually going to a place where the will of their dead brother is being read. And they have to rush there. Be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. I remember an experience, and please, I'm saying this, I'm not making a doctrine, and I'm not telling anybody to go and practice it, because a lie, brethren, is a lie. Okay? From what we can see here, Paul is not lying. Paul is a Pharisee. Right? That's what, in fact, that's what he was. And we need to understand, you know, who a Pharisee actually is. A Pharisee is like, you hear of scribes and Pharisees, right? They are scholars. They know the law. A Pharisee is like, let me just, not accurately, but a scribe is from the Pharisee. And a Pharisee, not every Pharisee is a scribe. But scribes are, so who are the scribes? They are people who, they know the law. They have the knowledge of the law. So it's like a solicitor. So once a solicitor, always a solicitor. So if you become a Christian, you are still a solicitor. So that's what he was basically saying. I am a solicitor. And it's because of what I believe that I'm being judged here. And there were solicitors on the panel. You know, so I remembered, you know, I was working in the bank then. And of course, there's time to work, there's time to pray. So, but we started discovering things were not going right. So we always had a secret time when we would pray. But we must not be caught praying. So we had a secret store where is a stationery store, but you get in there, it's locked, and the person who opens it is like the person the bank has assigned to look, you know, take charge of stationery. So that person happened to be a Christian, happened to be one of us who had the key to that storeroom. So we always will sneak in there, just quickly pray. If anything just happens and we just get a wind of it, we have a way of signaling to each other. We just run in there and we just pray. So we ran. So one day, I went there and people had been noticing. You know, we didn't know people were watching us. And if they found out, you could get sacked or disciplined or something. So I just overheard one of them one day. What are those people always? I notice at a certain time, they're always going, are you going to distribute bank money or something? You know, I had the person saying it. So I knew the game was almost up. So one day, as usual, I went to pray, and I was coming out. And I kind of saw the person who was always watching, and I quickly ran to the toilet. So I went into the toilet, and I came out of the toilet. So he confronted me. Where are you coming from? I'm coming from the toilet. Did I lie? No, you're laughing. Did I lie? I deliberately, intentionally took off from that place and ran into the toilet. So when he asked me, where are you coming from? From the toilet. You're wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. If it got me when I was coming straight from that storeroom, you know, would have been a different story. And some of us probably have also been confronted, you know, I don't know, you know, where your boss will ask you to lie. Where's your boss? The boss will say, if that phone rings, tell them I'm not around. I've traveled. You know, the boss will specifically tell you that. So all these things began to bother me when I became a Christian. So I was always asking God for wisdom. Lord, my boss, said I should say. He has traveled. He's gone for a meeting or something. He's not around. And, you know, at times he's inside and the person looking for him is just outside. It's not as if even a call at times. So I remembered one of the days, God just told me what to say. So, yeah, he told me, yeah, I've traveled, if they should ask. So immediately they asked, the person asked, so where is he? Can I see him and all that? I said, he's not available. Can I take a message? Quickly, before the person will say any other thing. I'll take a message and I'll pass it across. Rather than saying, oh yeah, it's my boss now. I'm under authority. The Bible says we should subject to authority. So you're lying. So asking for wisdom. All right, so let's look at it. Paul took a stand here. He took the side of the Pharisees. But let's look a little bit deeper to understand who's a Pharisee and who's a Sadducee. Because at times, going beyond what Paul did here, it is dangerous for us to side with either Pharisees or Sadducees. If you look deeper, that's not really what Paul did here. He only used that to navigate his way out of that situation. But at the end of the day, like a brother pointed out, he actually, in a way, testified of Jesus. You know, he said, I'm a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged. Clear, that was his aim, to bring a testimony of Jesus, really. And this is what, without mentioning Jesus, you know, what we should be careful is that we are not actually taking sides and becoming Sadducees or Pharisees in our walk, in our lives. Now, who is a Sadducee? Who are the Sadducees? Just so that we can just have basic understanding. You see, that word Sadducee, interpreted, literally means the righteous. But you need to understand that kind of righteousness. They were righteous people. If Jesus ever had any problem, it was with Sadducees and Pharisees. All through his walk, check the Bible. And the Pharisees came to ask him a question. And a Pharisee came to ask him, Master, we know you know the law. We know that you are sent from God. But this is what should we do? Moses said this, well, what are you saying? You know, they just wanted to trap him. And he got, now, mind you, Sadducees and Pharisees actually hate each other. The only time you will see them unite is when they want to destroy someone Jesus or someone who believes in Jesus. So at this time, they were united to destroy Paul. But Paul, you know, saw through that. They ganged up on Jesus. So they are the righteous, but their kind of righteousness is, you know, the holier than thou kind of righteousness. Let's be careful that as Christians, we don't become holier than thou. Now, what did they not believe in? They didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. Sorry, I'm talking about Sadducees. Let's look at the Sadducees first. Righteous, holy people. They were like priests and, aristocrats. They were like, high people. They were so pious. You know, Bible history said some of them actually, they were born into wealth. You know, they were wealthy. And they had official positions. And they hate common people. So there are high up people there who will not, you know, don't thought you sinners, you know, holier than thou. If we are not careful as Christians, at times we can behave like that and become modern day Sadducees, where we think we are actually better than people. You forget that you are once a sinner, but only saved by grace. Where we now become judgmental. You are siding with the Sadducees. There's a joke somebody said many years ago that the Sadducees, they don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. That's why they were sad, you see. Let's go to the Pharisees. Pharisees literally means to separate. I mean, these Pharisees moved with the common people. You know, I wanted to say something that they were like the Labour Party. And the Sadducees were the conservatives. Can I get arrested for this? Come on. Come and arrest me. I will tell you I'm a British citizen. So, but who are they? They are men of the people. They love the popular opinion. The Bible says they love praises of men. You know, they're going, Rabbi. You know, you just want, anywhere you go, you just love those praises. You want to be a man of the people. You know, you are a Pharisee. Because at times, as Christians, we want to move with popular opinion. And we don't realize that these things don't mix. Excuse me, if we are Christians, right? If we are church, if we are ecclesia. Ecclesia means called out ones. We are called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Light and darkness don't mix. But what do we have today? You can hardly tell a Christian from a non-Christian. Brethren, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. We ought to be separated. The Bible says, touch not the unclean thing. Come out from amongst them. I will be your God. You will be my people. We should be separated. We shouldn't be people who love praise. You know, we become a man of the people, men. You know, we don't want to offend anybody, so we must not tell people the truth. Oh, we love everybody. We don't want to hurt. And we must not tell you the truth. We must not. They knew the law. And one other thing about the Pharisees was they knew the letter. But the Bible warns us the letter kills. It is the spirit that gives life. Because you see, you can be a modern, you can side with and become a modern day Pharisee. Because you know the Bible, any little thing you quote the Bible. You are quoting the Bible, but you're not living the Bible. Or you are even misquoting the Bible. That's a modern day Pharisee. Which side are you? We should not be on either side, brethren. We should be on the Lord's side. You know, I have come and I always declare this personally, personal statement. People will come to me, this and this and this and this. What is your opinion about this? Brethren, I reply, I do not have any opinion about it. What does the word of God say about it? That is the opinion that counts. Because my opinion at the end of the day is not what will take me to heaven. My opinion will even judge me on the last day. You know, we had an interesting time in our discipleship class. And I just subtly had to point it out to one of us there. You know, when we're even talking about the Bible and interpreting it, you say things like, you know, my own opinion about this, this is my opinion about this scripture. It sounds a bit, what's the word now? I mean, it sounds good when we say things like this. Is, you know, like you read a scripture. This is my opinion of this scripture. Brethren, the scripture, the Bible says, is not of any private interpretation. What is the word of God saying in that context? Don't take it out of context. Don't give it your opinion. We should have no opinion if we are Christians except God's mind over matters, even if it's going to cost us friendship. It's God's mind. It's not my opinion. My opinion doesn't matter. The Bible says everything will pass away. The only thing that won't pass away is the word of God. What's God saying about the issue? Because we have to be careful. Which side are you? Are you a Sadducee? Are you a Pharisee? And one of the things about Pharisees also, both of them, they are very judgmental people. They are the ones who will come to Jesus. Why is it that your disciples, they don't wash their hands before they eat? They are the ones who always see specks. You know? That's one of the things you see about a Pharisee. You are the one who is always seeing specks in other people's eyes, always seeing people's sin. You know, you have become an intercessor. Right, you are not really, you're not really an intercessor. You are a gossip, a busybody. Let's pray about this matter. Did you hear what happened? I'm just saying it so that we can pray. In form of prayer meeting, you just come to throw in some gossip. That's a Pharisee. Which side are you? Brethren, we should not be on the sides of Sadducees and Pharisees. Because what Paul eventually was doing here was taking a stand for Jesus, not siding with the Pharisees, per se. You know, we there's so many things, you know, we can go home and do a proper study. One thing that can help, just take a Bible that's got, what's it called now? Concordance. Type inside, you see. Read all the scriptures about Jesus' encounter with Pharisees. I mean, Sadducees. Type in Pharisee. Do the same. And tell yourself, never. Because at times, like Paul knew what a Sadducee was. And Paul knew what a Pharisee was. And that helped him to take his own stand. So I pray we will neither be Sadducees. The aim of this study tonight is to get us to the place where we're neither Sadducees or Pharisees. So Sadducees or Pharisees, which side are you? Which side are you? I'm on the Lord's side. Amen. Do we have a question? We'll take a question and we round up tonight. Yeah. When you look at verse 11, it says that the following night the Lord stood by him. Brethren, we should be on the Lord's side. Arsenal and Manchester United are playing. You are praying to God. Lord, let Arsenal win. You are a Christian. There's another born-again, Holy Ghost tongue-talking, fire-spitting Manchester United fan. Who is also praying? Let Manchester United beat Arsenal. Whose prayer is God going to answer? You must be a Pharisee. Just joking. Are you getting me? Conservative is against Labour. They are born again Christians in Conservative Party. They are born again Christians in the Labour. Don't try and use scripture to tell me Labour is right, Conservative is wrong. Excuse me. The scripture says pray for those in authority. Let's always stay on the Lord's side. Amen. No question? Yes, sir. Yeah, quickly. Our time is up.
Just a quick question.
Yes, sir.
For our learning.
Yeah.
With the examples you've used,
yes,
how do we manage that? We know that there are people who would either be, back to the analogy, who will be Labour Party members, there will be people who will be Conservative Party members. How do we, it could be people who are white, black, people who one ethnicity and another ethnicity. How do we come to the place of maturity to, Paul said, I'm a Pharisee, my dad is a Pharisee, but I'm here not because of what my physical identity is, I'm here because of
what I believe.
That's right. How do we grow above those differences? Yes.
Those sentiments.
The sentiments. Yeah. How do we grow above it, and how do we show maturity? How do we understand what is valuable? Yes, I don't agree with you, but I still respect you.
Yeah.
As a person, I still respect your views. How do we grow above that?
Thank you, sir. That's a very down-to-earth practical question. And a simple answer, when we find ourselves in things like that, this is where prayer comes in. Lord, what is your counsel here? Lord, what are you saying? Lord, what should I say? You know, there's something Jesus said. When they bring you before the council, when you are brought to a place of judgment, don't premeditate what you should say. At that point, the Holy Spirit will give you utterance. We should always ask, intentionally, deliberately. And the more we grow to that place where we are always asking, Lord, I don't know, but Lord, you know, what should I do? What should I say? Then we grow in that maturity. We come to that place of maturity. And always be ready to just speak the counsel of God. The Bible says, there's a proverb, it says, there are many devices in the heart of man. Nevertheless, it is the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. Always seek for God's counsel. Live above sentiments. God's counsel. Just always seek above, you know? So, and the more we do that, we grow in maturity, because maturity is really what we know, what we understand, what our choice is. That's what shows maturity. You put some things down here. You put a canned Coke with sugar and everything down here. And then you put a healthy option, juice, fruit. You tell a child to choose one. The child will choose Coke. It's fizzy. Drinks it. But maturity tells you this is healthier. That's our choices. It's actually the things, but it's based on what we know. It's based on what we know. So let's, if we don't know, always ask. Yes, sir. I don't know if that, just ask. There's no harm in asking. Just ask. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, my question is quite related when it comes to miracles and signs.
Okay.
And I think me and Uncle Iwa were talking about Stella War. We didn't finish up our conversation. Now, in certain fellowship or certain churches, for example, there are cases where, let's say, the minister of God then tell you, okay, I want you to come out and I want you to touch my garment, whatever I'm wearing, and you will be healed.
Yeah.
Now, in that situation, then I'm like, okay, is this person is not Jesus, and he's telling me to come out and touch his garment.
Yeah.
And there are other examples of ways where ministers tell you to do certain things that seem quite strange.
Yeah.
And a lot of people rush and do this.
That's right.
But I wouldn't know what to do because everybody else is going off to do it. But
okay. Yeah. Simple. Now, I'll give you a scripture and then I will kind of balance. Jesus said something. The works that I do, who will do it also? No, let the man, who will do it? And he even said, even greater works you will also do because I go to my Father. He was introducing us to what the Holy Spirit can do through us. Okay, did people touch Jesus' garment and they got healed? Did they? So if I'm a believer and Jesus said, what I did, you too can do. Can someone touch the hem of my garment and be healed? According to Jesus? Even greater works. Is that according to Jesus? Right? Okay. But the Bible says these signs shall follow those who? Those who? There's something Jesus always said, be it unto you according to your faith. So a man of God is saying, yeah, I have this cloth here. If you touch it, you'll be healed. Brother, if you don't believe it, if you touch it, you are not going to be healed. Those who believe, run there. Huh? Please don't judge people for what they believe. The only thing we should judge is if something is extra scriptural. What do I mean? Come on, this is not in the Bible. This is, if you doubt, don't, if you, the Bible says if you doubt and you eat, you are damned. So it's no magic. If I don't believe, come and touch this thing and you'll be healed. If I don't believe, I'll sit down. Is anybody forcing you to come and touch? Come on, be it unto you according to your faith. There's no need for any argument. Because somebody will go and touch that thing, I'm telling you, they will be healed. You'll be shocked. Because they believed. And the only thing also we should guard against is if that person now wants to start taking the glory, then doubt that, because now he's pointing your attention away from Jesus to himself. Once I see man of God, prophet, and I can see clearly who is taking the glory here, this man is a subtle way of diverting my attention so that I start looking at them as, hey, Baba, Baba, big man of God. Are you getting me? That's where the danger is. These signs shall follow them that believe. It didn't say these signs shall follow them that call themselves prophets, apostles. Them that. So if you believe, you can do it. You can lay hands on yourself and be healed. If you don't have enough faith, join your faith with someone. Agree. Right? Call for the elders. It's what we believe. And, you know, we're like children. We're growing in our faith. When you look at it, faith itself is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And when Paul was teaching, it says some have the gift of faith. Faith is basic, but some people, I'm telling you, they can do anything, and you know, they have faith. So be done. Please operate at your own level. That's just, you won't get into it. You can't miss it that way. Just operate at your own level. But if somebody's pointing my attention away from God to themselves, I query that a lot. A lot. Hey, man of God, man of God, man of God, pray for me, man of God, I'm dying, man of God. You see all of them line up, man of God, man of God, man of God, man of God. Hey, I question that. I'm telling you now, I'm not mincing words. So it's the man of God that heals you. Oh, come on. We are, you see, the way we are as human beings, we tend to deify human beings. It's very subtle. Jesus healed me. It's Jesus that heals, not the man of God. I don't know if it makes sense, because you are still looking like glucosade, like you drank glucosade this evening. Just joking.
Yeah, it's.
Are you getting me?
Yeah.
It's be it unto you according to your faith, as long as you are not doing something extra scriptural. Let me give you an example. What Reverend Yemi said that is extra scriptural. Somebody told him to come and meet one old man in one rackety hut, and the man told you, just take water, put it dew, and bath naked in the open. My friend, you do that here, they are coming to carry you straight to that place. What's that place called? Where's Debbie? That place in straight to Broad Green. The sections, automatic section. They don't need your consent to section you. That's the thing about sectioning. No, no, the sex, your consent or the consent of your family. Nobody, they just carry you. Consent, no. They will tell you they are protecting you against yourself. You know, because we should be careful when we are doing even weird things in the name of faith. Don't do anything extra scriptural, come on. Go and jump inside the lion's den because, forget it. We can talk more, but our time is gone. All right, brethren, let's pray. Lord, I'm on your side. I'm on the Lord's side. Father, help us to take our stand, a righteous stand, everywhere, anything we do. Peradventure, there are some of us right now, Lord God Almighty, who need to take a stand for you. Help us. Holy Spirit, empower us in Jesus' name. Amen.